Hello, welcome to Add This to Your List. This is episode 58. I am one of your hosts, Fumi Simano, and I am joined by the fabulous and talented co-hosts, Mark J. Parker and Tom Chuba.
Hello. Hey. Wow, what a nice intro.
I've never been called talented before. Well, yes, I have, but not in this context.
I was going to say, boo. I mean, around you. He's
like, where are you working? Why your boss ain't telling you you're talented?
Yeah, lift you up, honey. We need people who are uplifted for better work. How are you guys today?
Good. Spring is in the air, so Mark and I got a little bit of extra leg pep in our step, I guess.
Oh, yeah. It's a warmer weekend slightly, but, you know.
47, you know, relatively speaking.
Yeah.
It's freezing. But I will say that spring is around the corner. Yeah. I can feel it. I ran into a bush.
You have spring all day, all year long.
Well, no, it's been cold here. I walked into a bush by accident the other day. But you know the ones, but you know the ones that have like the flowers and like they're blooming, and when you walk by or like wind blows, it like releases its fragrance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so when I walked into the bush, it released the fragrance, and I was like, oh, spring is coming.
Now, were you distracted by the flowers? Like, what caused you to walk into said bush?
I think I was just carrying too much, and I was just kind of, like, swaying back and forth, you know?
She was taking selfies and walking.
You know.
I just hate that smell, though, of, like, springtime, which we'll be smelling soon, at least in New York, of, like, the...
The fishy trees.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
We used to have those on campus, remember, Foom?
We sure did. Oh, they were over. They powering.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're walking by and you're like, is that me?
Like, yeah, you're like, oh, did I not clean myself today?
A little, like, sexual, a little fishy, little, like, what's going on in that apartment?
I wish you guys could see Mark's facial expression right now. He is disgusted.
Oh, yeah, you walk by and you're like, oh. Cancel plans. Like, forget it.
Alrighty, well, for this episode, we're going to break down headlines and housekeeping, then we'll get into our list, and then we're deep diving into Leaving Neverland, because we all watched it, and we all got some thoughts.
Oh, God, yeah.
Sure do.
So, let's get into it. First and foremost, who wants to take away... Can I just start with, because I did just see this, and I think this is truly fascinating, because we've talked about it before, Smilf getting canceled.
Yes.
Yeah, it was on your list. So, did she do something?
Oh.
Wait, what?
We gotta discuss. Tom I thought, I feel like we talked about it offline, but not on the show.
I thought we all did, but maybe Mark and you and I just did.
Yeah.
Okay, so a little maybe bit we of a did. Backstory. Is that Frankie Shaw is the creator, executive producer, star of Smilf. Single mom, I'd like to fuck, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based in Boston. She plays a single mother. The show is actually really well done. It's really well written. It's really well acted. But homegirl, Miss Frankie, has got some issues in terms of
talk about this. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a nightmare to work with. Yeah, yeah.
She separated her writer's room among racial lines. She showed a sex scene with one of her stars that was not supposed to be broadcasted as part of her contract, and it was.
Mm.
And she apparently is allegedly just an overall horrific person to work for.
Terrible.
And so
she's canceled.
ABC opened up an investigation into her series, and it was just released that Showtime has decided not to move forward with the show.
Right.
But it's currently airing its second season.
Have you been watching season two, Fumi? I know you love season one.
I did. You know, I lost Showtime because that shit's expensive.
Yeah.
So I haven't watched it yet. I was just going to, like, get, like, you know, create an email account and, like, order.
Yeah. Or just borrow it from Tom. Week.
Well, I mean, if one of y'all want to give me a login, I ain't gonna complain.
I've given
about
it to you
it.
Plenty of times, girl. Just write that
shit
down.
So I haven't watched it, but I'm like, should I even bother? Like, is it going to end on a cliffhanger?
Don't support it.
Yeah, I mean, because it's according to Deadline, they were saying, I guess Showtime and ABC Studios were saying that a major factor were lower ratings for season two. But I mean, you know, they did a whole investigation into exactly what you mentioned, all the things that she was doing on set. And I think it was just a mutual decision, like, because I guess when all that was coming out, season two was already a go. They already were at least planning it or shooting it. So I think that they probably decided a few months ago that it's like, all right, after this is done, this is it. Like, just cut ties. So her partnership with ABC Studios is suspended. So
Without pay. So she's probably going to end up losing that.
Yeah. Yikes.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Apple shows to be all family friendly.
Yeah.
I saw this in the news the other day, and I know we mentioned it as a news item when it was announced that Apple was going to have its own streaming service. We were excited about it. There's some really big talent that they've attracted, Reese Witherspoon and Octavia Spencer, to name a few.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer Aniston, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Jennifer Aniston. Yep. But there was an article the other day that made its way around the trades that said their shows are going to be family focused. And we were all just kind of left going, huh?
Why?
Yeah.
How's that? I find that really hard to believe that the talent signed on for shows that are going to be family specific. I mean, basically they're just trying to create another Freeform, it sounds like.
Well, and that's funny you bring that up, because Freeform is owned by Disney, and isn't the Disney Plus streaming service going to be family friendly? So why would Apple want to do the same thing that Disney's doing? I have a feeling this decision will change. I think that maybe is the goal right now. But I think once they get it going, they're going to realize, of course have some family-friendly fare, of course, you know. But some things, you can push it. I mean, that's the amazing thing about these streaming networks. You can go farther than anyone else.
Perhaps it's why we haven't seen anything yet, though. And perhaps that's why these shows seem to be in development hell. I mean, the Reese Witherspoon one has been in development for more than a year and a half now.
Right.
And there's like no production start date in sight. So
not even
maybe
like
they're
a still
having some issues. Yeah. Nothing.
Like,
not
even like, yeah. Yeah. It seems like the execs are too involved.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I read that the executives at Apple are too heavily involved in the creative, and it's slowing down production.
Right.
For the shows.
Oh, that's right. And I remember when we were talking about this offline, I thought it was just so funny that they want it to be family friendly so that they can show it in their Apple stores. It's like, I just thought that was so silly. If anything, make like a little sizzle reel or like, cut scenes from stuff. I don't know if you want to just show full episodes all day in your Apple stores.
I mean, right.
Seems a little weird, but yeah.
Speaking just really quickly of Disney Plus, did you guys see that they're going to have their entire library on there? No more vaults.
Yeah. That's
so
great.
Interesting, right? We grew up with this whole Disney vault thing,
my God.
Right?
Which is giving them a huge upper hand, you guys. Oh, yeah. Think about what Disney's, what they have.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's all going to be on their streaming service.
Not just animated all throughout the years. I mean, all stuff.
Everything.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be hard if someone doesn't, like, if a fan of entertainment in general doesn't get a Disney Plus account, I feel like we're all gonna need one, basically.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And then the next thing we have, oh my God, Jussie Smollett.
Yes, update.
He has been indicted on 16 felony charges and could face up to 48 years in jail.
Well deserved. Goodbye.
Right. Yeah. They breaking news as of maybe yesterday or a couple days ago. The jury indicted him on all that, and I think in addition to 48 years in jail, I think he owes a couple hundred thousand in fines.
Oh, definitely.
So, yikes.
I don't think he'll do jail time, though. I think he'll just plead guilty and, you know.
Yeah?
Oh, I think he'll do some. I don't think it'll be 48
It's definitely
years.
Not going to be 48.
I don't think he'll do jail time, you guys.
These are felonies, Foom.
I know, but think about how crowded the jail system is in Chicago. They had a lot of problems up in that city, you know? A lot of people are in that jail cell, so I don't know. I don't know.
That's interesting. We'll see. Yeah, that's an interesting thought.
All right. Tom, you've got some news items.
Yeah,
some
just
headlines.
Something really quick that caught my attention this week. Universal is moving forward with a Rock Hudson biopic, and I just think that's super interesting because he's like this enigma, you know? He's this figure that we know very little about, his private life. Well, maybe we know a lot about it because it's clear now, years later, that he was gay and closeted and still
he was?
Very...
I'm kidding.
Oh, I was like, girl. I mean, yeah, he died of AIDS, right, in the 80s. So I just hope that they go there with the biopic. I hope they don't shy away, and I don't think they will. Greg Berlanti is on board to produce and direct the film. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of exciting. I'm just curious to see who they're going to pick to play him.
Yeah, I wonder, who do you think? Well, I guess it depends on his age. I
feel like Clooney could have done it 10 years ago, but he's too old now.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, maybe it could be Clooney, and then they do this facial CGI that The Irishman is doing to age people down and up. I don't know, you know? Yeah, I guess it all depends on age. I think it's great. I think I'm sure it'll be tastefully done. I feel like Greg Berlanti does good, like, classy stuff. I just am hoping, like you, Tom, that they do, like, you know, go deep and, like, let it get kind of dark or let it get kind of sexy. And Berlanti likes to kind of keep things a little more general audience in general. So, you know, we'll see. But it's cool. Totally.
And Mark, what's on your headlines?
So I thought this was really interesting. We've talked in the past about MoviePass and Cinemia, which I have Cinemia. Fumi doesn't. I forget. Tom, you don't.
I do.
Either.
I do, and I
you
love
do.
It.
Yeah, you have Cinemia. Yeah, I don't love it. I like it. It is annoying. They are sort of in a little hot water right now with their extra fees. But, I mean, I don't find the fees all that crazy. I basically pay $9.99 a month for 3 movies in the theater. And then on top of that, each time I get a ticket, if I don't get it through, like, a theater that I have a membership with already, like AMC or something, you just have to pay a couple dollars extra per ticket. And there's, like, a lawsuit happening right now with hidden fees. So that's kind of that side of things. But Cinemia just released a new idea, brand new plan called Cinemia Limitless, which I feel like our listeners and a lot of people out there will maybe give it a shot. So it's interesting. You still would get a digital or a hard card, if you want one, a physical card. But you pay $70 up front for the year and get $100 worth of movie tickets.
That just sounds, I might as well just go to BJ's and get a AMC gift card at a discounted rate.
True,
you know?
That's true. That's a very good way to look at it, Tom. You're right. Yeah, it's basically a gift card. Yeah, and from what I gather, it seems like there are no hidden fees or anything. It's just flat out, you get this money, and it just expires in a year. So you just want to make sure, you know, you use it. But at least in, like, New York, with tickets around $15 a ticket, I mean, that right there gets you, like, you know, 6 or maybe 7, you know, movies for the year, you know, with a $30, you know, discount. So I think it's interesting.
I just don't think it's limitless. That's a bad name.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You think it's still, cause they say it can be used at any theater, any time, any kind of movie, but why don't you think limitless, Tom?
$100 isn't a lot in the grand scheme of things.
Totally. For a year. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I guess it's maybe a good plan for those who, you know, just go to the theater occasionally to, like, see certain big things, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll see. I know Cinemia has really been trying to, like, you know, take over the whole subscription thing. So we'll see how that pans out.
And then I have just, you know, CBS this morning, Gayle King has made the news this past week about her interview with R. Kelly.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating interview. I mean, I highly recommend everyone to watch it. I know that they ended up doing, like, a late night Friday, kind of like
a full hour,
60-minute special.
Right, yeah.
They interviewed him. He lost his shit. She had complete composure. And
complete
then, you know, also,
composure.
Oh, yeah. Like, complete composure. She did a phenomenal job. And then she also interviewed two of the girls that are his girlfriends, Azriel Clary and Joycelyn Savage. And their parents were actually on the Surviving R. Kelly documentary. Those were two girls that were promptly featured on there. Yes. And it's actually kind of heartbreaking to watch those girls. I mean,
yeah, they're brainwashed.
They are brainwashed.
Wow, I have to watch.
It's I don't know how many years of rehabilitation they're going to need, but it's really powerful. So I definitely recommend everybody checking it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
Did you guys watch it?
Just clips.
I watched the 10-minute longer clip that was released a few days ago. I haven't been able to see the whole hour-long interview yet, but I'm basically watching it right after this. It's so interesting. And you guys are so right. Gayle King, like, rocked that interview. She was
I know.
Awesome. I was genuinely scared for her when he was standing up and like ranting and pointing. I was like, he is going to accidentally slap
hit her.
Yeah.
Yeah. She did a fantastic job. So go, Kale. Yeah. I hope this helps you in your negotiations for more money.
I know how fun. What perfect timing. Get them coins. She's doing this as she's negotiating millions of dollars. I think you got it.
Exactly. I think you got it, girl. Yeah. I think you got it. All right. Well, let's get into our list, shall we?
Yeah, it's time.
Mark, take it away.
Okay, thank you. So, I got two items on my list this week. The first is a brand new TV show on Pop, which I actually don't watch a lot of Pop. I know people rave about Schitt's Creek. I liked it in the beginning, and it's definitely likable, but I think I had just seen enough after a couple years. But so, brand new show. Well, you know, no shade, but it's kind of the same thing.
I did the same thing with Modern Family, yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That was like, yeah. Totally. Is that still on? Is Modern Family?
It's got final season next season.
Oh, God. Finally. Okay. Well, exactly. This new show, I have to say, is an add this to your list, and it is called Flack. Have you guys heard about
it? Never
Flack?
Heard of it.
Okay. Nope. Yeah. It's brand new. It was filmed in the UK, and I have a feeling Pop acquired it from another network. It might have aired over there on, you know, BBC or something. But it's very, very British. It feels very, very foreign. So for
That's
anyone
a good
out,
thing.
Yes, it's a good thing for anyone out there who isn't really used to, you know, British stuff. Obviously we see so much British crime stuff. This is a British comedy. So it is a little wacky. It's a little kooky. You're kind of like, wait, the editing, you know, throws me off a bit. It almost feels like I'm watching something that's like been edited for like an airplane ride or something.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? But I actually really like it. I wasn't sure for a little bit. I watched the first two episodes. It's only a 6-episode season, so nice and short. Each episode's
They're
an hour.
They're great with short seasons.
They are, absolutely, yeah. It's great because it doesn't have to meander. It's got its plan for each episode and its whole season. So only 6 1-hour-long episodes. I watched the first two. Stars Anna Paquin, who I feel like everyone kind of loves Anna Paquin, right? Even though I don't know anymore if she's all that strong of an actress. Sorry, Anna.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still on the fence about that.
You realize she's an Oscar winner, right?
But she was like 12. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that counts.
Yeah. Wait, did she actually win or was she just
nominated?
Yeah,
no, she won.
Did she win? Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, so was Jennifer
Hudson. Shit happens, yeah.
I mean.
Oh, hey. Jennifer Hudson killed that role.
She did, but everything else.
Well, but you could say the same thing about a bunch of other
but,
actors.
Anyway, let's go
Jennifer
back
Connelly, sure. Yeah.
So Anna plays Robin, who's an American PR executive living in London. I still am not sure why she's American, but, you know, I guess we'll figure that out. Again, I've only seen the first two episodes, but she is a badass. What I like best about this show is the dialogue. The dialogue is funny. It is fierce. I had to put on subtitles because with the accents, everyone is just talking like a mile a minute and everything's going on and it's like, whoa. But so she lives in London and so does her American sister and her family, kids, husband, all that. They lost their mom a year ago, so she's dealing with some family issues. She is a PR executive who is basically, I feel like, the Kerry Washington of the PR world. You know, she's very much a fixer. She goes after her celebrity clients and totally cleans up their messes. The very first episode starts with this crazy, interesting, chaotic scene, and she's right there and she's like trying to get things happening and fixing them. And so she's fearless. She's got a great boss played by an actress that you might know her name, you might not remember her face. She's done a lot over the years, but smaller stuff. Sophie Okonedo. She is fantastic as this kind of Miranda Priestly from Devil Wears Prada PR head honcho who is, you know, getting Botox in her office, and, you know, she's great. She's got lots of great lines. A great, strong cast of women, but they're all badass PR people trying to make sure that these, you know, celebrity stories, these tabloid stories don't, you know, blow up in flames. So, and it's just interesting, as she cleans up all these messes so well, she herself is a major mess. Not the most surprising or fresh kind of way to do a show. We've seen that before where the hero can do some things well, but personally they suck. But you know, it's cool to see it in this world. It's cool to see it in London.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, she's like fixing up her client's drug habits when she herself will do anything for drugs, that kind of thing. So it'll be interesting to see. And her boyfriend, her family doesn't really know a lot of what she does. So I assume it'll get a little tense and they'll start to see more and more of what she's doing behind closed doors, that kind of thing. But I enjoy it. I thought it was great. I would have stayed up later and kept watching, but it was already like 12:30 and I was like, I have work in the morning. But yeah, I recommend it. Flack on Pop just started. I think maybe 3 episodes, maybe 4 have aired now. So it's, you know, nearing the end of its run, but check it out. It's on demand. I think it's fun. The dialogue, like I said, is a joyride. So you'll be laughing. You'll be gasping. They really push the boundaries with some nudity. So I think it's a good time. Second item on my list is a book I'm actually reading. I'm nearing the end. It's a great book by Jenna Fischer, actress Jenna Fischer from The Office.
Sure.
We love her. She's currently on...
She's adorable.
She's so adorable. She's on the ABC show, which isn't so bad right now. It's splitting up together. It's kind of a cute sitcom. It's called The Actor's Life, A Survival Guide. Great, great book. Add it to your list, even if you are not an actor or you're not a casting person. You know, I got it for multiple reasons. From the acting side, the casting standpoint, the teacher, you know, in me wanted to get a book about an actor's experience. It's so good, guys. Not only is it great, like, you know, tips for actors starting out of any age and, you know, the whole New York versus LA thing and all the little steps that actors take in their careers, but it's just a lot of great anecdotes, a lot of great stories. She goes into detail about all these terrible auditions she went on. Years ago. A lot of it takes place, like, I want to say, in, like, the mid to late 90s. Kind of throughout the 90s when she was a major struggling actress before The Office really took off, you know? Mm-hmm. And she explains how she, you know, became friends with different people and how that led to things, as it always does, and doing little weird shows and little holes in the wall, you know, in LA. But she talks about how she, like, auditioned for the new Spice Girls, which ended up being, like, a call girl escort service, and she had no idea.
Oh, shit. No kidding.
Oh, totally, yeah. A lot of good, funny little stories, and she's got a great sense of humor.
Is she as cookie cutter as she seems, or as her character was on The Office?
That's interesting. You know, yeah, she's very similar to her character Pam. I think that's why she was the perfect person for that role. She, you know, she doesn't sugarcoat anything. She's very open and very honest and, like, super self-deprecating and will be the first one to say, like, I totally screwed up that audition. Like, I was not right for that at all. But yeah, I don't think there's really, from what I remember, there's no real, like, cursing. It's not like she gets, like, really... you know, body or anything. She kind of is how you would think she would be. But she's a great writer. I feel like I'd love to read something else in the future that, you know, some other memoir, or if she starts writing scripts or something. She's very descriptive. All of her details about, you know, testing and doing callbacks for The Office and all these other things. I think it's a great read. So anyone out there who is interested in acting or just the behind the scenes of the Hollywood, you know, TV star, all the ups and downs and rejection, it's really fascinating. It's a great read. So
cool. How many pages is it?
It's interesting you call her cookie cutter, because I guess I never really thought of her that way. Mm. But then, like, I'm thinking back to now her all of her credits, and I guess she is. Like, I've never seen her in anything risque, and I can't imagine...
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be really cool if she did. I feel like she has it in her, because I do think she's pretty good. But yeah, you're right. She's always played kind of the nice girl, and if she's doing anything that's not nice, it's definitely like in a comedic way.
That's exactly her character on Splitting Up Together, which is a show I love.
Oh, do you love it? Good. Okay, yeah, I like it too.
I love it.
Yeah.
But that's exactly her character on that show.
Right. Totally. Yeah, I like her. So I feel like if you ever see it at a bookstore or, you know, want to read it online, it's a fun, fast, easy read of just her life, you know, all of her crazy experiences rising up. So check it out.
Tom, what's on your list?
Cool. So I originally had 2 things on my list this week, one being Leaving Neverland. By the way, I keep wanting to call it Finding Neverland. I don't know why. 2 very different movies or 2 very different pieces of entertainment.
Yeah.
But then we had all watched it and we all said, you know, this is the first time that we've ever had something on our list. So I'm going to save my thoughts on that for a couple minutes from now. And second thing on my list is I had the opportunity last weekend to go see Elton John on his final tour, Farewell Yellow Brick Road. And guys, I have to say, I feel bad putting it on my list because he doesn't have a lot of shows left. He's kind of at the end of the tour, and then he's going to do a leg in Europe. But we do have international listeners, and we do have listeners, I'm sure, in the middle of nowhere, U.S., where many of his remaining shows in North America are. So if you have the chance, definitely go see it. It is an add this to your list.
Yeah.
I was incredibly impressed. I mean, for 72 years old, that man brings it. And the ticket prices, well, we kind of got screwed because we bought tickets after, we had to buy through StubHub after the show had sold out already. So we paid $200 per ticket.
Okay.
But the tickets didn't set his ticket prices that high. He was fairer than that. But I have to say that it was well worth the ticket price. He played for 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Nice.
What I loved.
Wow.
Yes. Oh yeah. And straight through, no intermission. Is that true? No,
how
he
many
might
outfit
have taken
changes did he have?
He had 3 or 4 outfit changes. Yeah, okay. So there were definitely, I mean, nothing as crazy as, you know, the throwback costumes that we see in the Rocket Man trailer, for example,
yes,
right? The movie
totally.
Coming out in a couple of months. Yeah, he played for 2 hours and 40 minutes. The show was supposed to start at 8. He came on at 8:10. Love it. I hate
Ooh.
When artists
yes.
make me
yes,
wait.
Being on time.
Yeah.
Yep. Respecting people's time.
Totally.
He played 26 songs, and anything that you expected to hear was in there. I mean, he did Tiny Dancer, Rocket Man, Crocodile Rock, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, Benny and the Jets. I mean, he did not do either of his songs from The Lion King.
I was going to ask, did he do any Lion King songs?
He did not, no.
He honestly probably can't.
Those?
Yeah, he probably
yeah,
can't
does
do
he,
Yeah.
Does he own those songs?
What did you say, Foom?
I didn't think he owned them. I don't know if he owned them or not.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
So he did not do those. Like you said, yes, there were costume changes. He had a really big screen behind him that was playing essentially a B-roll footage the whole time. It was just these random, it wasn't telling any particular story. And I kept watching that to see if there was like some kind of hidden message that he was trying to make. Through
yeah.
the video that he was showing, but I couldn't really figure it out. It just might have been, I don't know, maybe it's inside, you know, tributes to people who have been important to his career. I don't know. I just couldn't make sense. There didn't seem to be a correlation between what was showing and what he was singing.
It was footage of, like, different people, famous people, or
No, not even. Like, for example, Dorn Tiny Dancer, it was, like, almost like a music video playing behind him, but it was just, it was like someone went with a handheld camera down in like East LA. And it was just, it was a lot of gender diversity, a lot of ethnic diversity in those videos. So I don't know. I kept looking for some hidden message, but I don't think there was one.
Okay.
But fantastic show overall. At the end, he gets behind a prop, which looks like a walker, and he kind of lifts up on stage and goes into the stars. The screen is showing like stars, a nighttime sky of stars, and he goes into the stars, and the curtain closes that way. And I thought that was very touching.
That's nice.
Enjoyed it more than I think the audience was very sad by it, you know, because it's like it's you could tell this is truly his farewell tour. He's not doing it again.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so the audience was kind of like bittersweet, but he was all like, you know, like waving and laughing and having a good time. So
awesome.
Highly recommend it if you have a chance.
I love it. Aw, Elton.
I know. And I'm so excited for Rocket Man now.
Oh, which I didn't even realize they were doing. I saw a trailer during one of the movies, and I was like, oh, they're doing a movie about Elton John.
Oh, yeah, they've been showing the trailer like crazy here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It went over my
head. It looks fun, yeah.
It does. All right, I will go next. The first thing on my list is an ad, and it is not quite my normal repertoire.
Ooh.
It's called The Enemy Within.
Yes.
And it's on NBC, which, you know, broadcasts.
Right. My friend Mike cast this, so hey.
It's a great, you know, you guys, I kind of really like it. It stars Jennifer Carpenter and Morris Chestnut.
Oh, Jennifer okay, Carpenter. That's the show, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jennifer Carpenter plays a CIA operative, Erica Shepherd, and what happens 3 years prior to the start of the show, her daughter gets, you know, kidnapped, not kidnapped per se, but her life gets threatened by a mastermind terrorist.
Okay.
And he wants the names of four CIA agents who had stopped a terror attack that he was planning.
Oh, okay.
So she gives this terrorist the names of those operatives. Those operatives end up dying, and then she ends up getting arrested. So all of this happens before, like, the show starts.
Oh.
And so while the show starts, she's currently in custody. She has basically, she spends the rest of her life in prison for, like, treason, you know. So Morris Chestnut plays an FBI agent who is tasked with watching over her because this terrorist, his name was Mikhail. He's a Russian, he's a Russian terrorist. He ends up starting again to start planning something new. And Erica Shepherd, played by Jennifer Carpenter, is the only person who really, like, knows his head, and they need her help.
Okay.
To try to stop these attacks. So, essentially, this series is one of the, you know, NBC's many, 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 many procedural dramas.
Yeah.
Where every week, I think, we'll just have, like, a different potential thing that Erica and Morris Chestnut's character are gonna have to stop.
Okay.
I've only gotten to one episode, but it was good. And you know, it's funny because Jennifer Carpenter, I don't, this is gonna sound horrible, but she's not like a lead actress to me.
Yeah.
Like, sure. There's something about her that I feel she's, is kind of forgettable.
She's a good supporting player. She's part of like a lineup and not like standing alone. Yeah. Yeah.
And so the whole time I was watching, I was like, God, this show would be so much better if it just if she wasn't cast in it. She wasn't cast in it. But then there's this one scene where she, I'm just going to tell you what happens because it's actually insane. She knocks out her own tooth.
Oh, God.
But like with a metal, like with like a metal tray, she basically like hits her mouth against bars to knock out her tooth
on purpose.
So she can go to on purpose, so she can go to the dentist, so she can escape and go see her daughter.
Oh.
And just that one scene of her seeing her daughter, she can't talk to her because she's not able to get that close. They come, they find her immediately, but just that one scene of her seeing her daughter, her mouthing to her daughter, "I love you," and "You're so beautiful." And like her daughter crying, but wow, she being arrested and like just having utter happiness and bliss on her face because she was able to see her daughter for the first time in 3 years. It's a really powerful scene, and I was like, you know what? Okay, Jennifer, I'll give it to you.
Wow,
cool.
Give it to you.
That sounds good.
Yeah. So definitely check it out. I don't think this will be something that I like feel the need to watch every week, nor do I think that like people will feel the need to watch it every week. But it has some substance to it for sure.
That's okay. There you go.
Yeah. And the second thing on my list is Captain Marvel. Surprise,
okay,
surprise.
Okay, tell us.
Oh, my God, you guys. I saw this last night. It's an ad. I mean, duh. It is the latest in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, and as I never fail to not mention, I love these movies.
Our Marvel maven.
And Captain Marvel is going to be the one to save the day for the Avengers.
Mm.
Because their last movie comes out in the summer.
I think it comes out like next month, right? April?
May.
Yeah, it's like comes out in like April or May. Anyway, so it stars Brie Larson and our favorite Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically the movie takes place in the 90s. She is a Kree civilian.
Oh.
Kree is another planet.
Oh.
She has these like powers where basically she can fly and she can turn into fire, but she doesn't have a memory of her life. Like she doesn't necessarily know like why, who she is.
Sounds so, like Alita. That movie Alita sounds kind of like Alita.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So they end up getting sent on a rogue mission. Turns out the mission was a complete sabotage and she gets knocked to planet C-53 in the middle of a Blockbuster Video.
Nice.
And a plaza with also a Radio Shack. It takes so C-53, if you can't guess,
is Earth.
And turns out she realizes that she's human.
Oh.
And she's not really Kree. And you know, there's some twists and turns. We have some of our favorites, Nick Fury, Phil Coulson, come on. And it's almost interesting to see the makeup of how young they did Samuel L. Jackson. I don't know if that had to be like computer generated to make him look as young as they did.
Did it look good?
Yeah, he looked good, and he had his both his eyes, which is crazy because we've seen him with the eye patch whole time. So we see what happened, why he only has one eye, which I'm not going to tell you because it's part of the fun of the movie. Mm-hmm. But the music was all 90s, so yeah, that was freaking awesome.
That must be cool. How did Brie do?
She did good. She did good. I mean, she definitely held her own. There's some fight scenes where she kicks ass. Like, I was watching her and I was like, yes, girl, get it.
Nice.
So it's a really great movie. I saw it on International Women's Day. So it was a great movie to see on that, especially during Women's History Month.
Yep.
And I liked the message within the film, which was kind of like an underlying political message about refugees.
Yeah.
And people trying to find homes. I thought that that was really interesting, the way that they correlated it together. I did not like Wonder Woman. I didn't understand the hype, and I felt like this was the type of movie that Wonder Woman should have been.
Oh, interesting.
That being said, is this the best movie out of all of the Marvel movies that we've seen in the past 10 years? No. Mm. Was it good? Did it hold its own? Absolutely. But it's definitely just a really fun ride. Watch it. It'll just make you happy.
Now, Foom, what would you say are your top three favorite Marvel movies as of right now? Do you have?
That's really hard. I would say Avengers, Black Panther, second Thor.
Oh, okay, interesting.
I think that's the way it would go.
Cool. I definitely want to see Captain Marvel just to support an awesome female superhero. Finally, right? Isn't this Marvel's first?
Yeah,
movie
first
with a
led by a woman.
About time.
I'm sure Scarlett Johansson has been like, "What the all actual fuck?"
I know because that does kind of suck for her. Yeah, she's like, "I was here first."
But I do think that they're actually making a movie for her.
Finally,
as well.
Yeah, they are.
Right.
Yeah.
Finally. Fun fact, real quick about Blockbuster. It's funny we are talking about it. Did you guys hear there is one Blockbuster left in the whole world?
Yes, that somebody said that in the theater behind me when we were sitting down.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, in Bend, Oregon, there is one Blockbuster left in the whole world, because I think just this month an Australian store is closing, so that's the only one left.
What do they sell?
Like a museum,
basically.
They still
sell DVDs?
They still rent out, and the owner or the manager of the store says each day they get more and more new accounts started. So they're actually thriving and renting out DVDs, Blu-rays, I guess, and it's a totally working.
Good for them.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I kind of want to go one day. Maybe we'll record an episode there one day.
I will say for Captain Marvel though, which is these shady trolls, they got bombarded with over 50,000 negative comments.
Ugh, what
to bring down their score on Rotten Tomatoes, which is so shady. Rotten Tomatoes has been purging them all. But it has a low rating, but that's because there's shady trolls out there who don't want women to succeed. So ignore
that.
That is so bizarre to me. See the movie.
Isn't that what also happened with Wonder Woman? I feel like that got bombarded. Yeah. What the fuck? Also,
I don't know. People are weird.
Can Rotten Tomatoes just remove the user reviews? I don't think anyone really cares about those user reviews anyway. Just get rid of them.
Yeah. You know? Messed up. But awful. Go see the movie. It's great.
Nice.
All right. So that was on our list. We didn't have any okay to misses this week,
no
which
skips.
We has been kind of our thing lately.
Yeah.
We have Flack, The Actor's Life by Jenna Fisher, Elton John's Farewell Tour, Captain Marvel, The Enemy Within, all ads. Go out and enjoy your life, people. Add these to your list.
Yes.
Have fun.
And that was a nice variety, too. A book, a concert, some TV, some movies. There you go.
Yeah. All right, now it is time to deep dive into HBO's latest documentary, Leaving Neverland. This broke some records for HBO.
Yep, yes. The third best ever or in a long time. I forget which.
Yes, something like that. Yeah, what were the other? Do we know what the other two were that did better than this?
Not a clue.
I'll have to look that up.
Oh, I think it was Going Clear.
Oh,
was one.
That was huge.
I don't know the other one.
I'll look it up as we're chatting. But yeah, guys, wow. What'd you think?
Who wants to kick it off?
I'll start.
Tom, kick it off.
I was, you know, you guys know me. I'm a hard sell in documentaries, right? Like when you guys talked about the R. Kelly doco that was on Lifetime, I had no interest. I didn't care. But there was something about MJ, and I'm not the biggest MJ fan in the world. He has great music, but I've never been like a diehard. You know, I own his big hits, but I don't own any other music of his, any other albums of his. There was just something about it that I wanted to check out, I guess just because he is such a world figure, really, known mm-hmm. all around the globe.
Of course.
And guys, my mouth was, I could not, I had posted on Facebook that it was like truly, truly like watching a car wreck. I could not take my eyes off of it.
Oh, yeah.
From the second it opened. And my mouth was just dropped the whole time. I believe them. I do think it was a little long. You know, I say that, but then at the end, I feel like they really rushed to tidy up. So, I don't know, maybe I'm contradicting myself. But for the most part, for me to sit for 4 hours and watch a documentary without checking my watch or anything like that, that's kind of an amazing feat. I thought it was really well shot.
Yeah.
I believe them, and I just don't know where we go from here, but I thought it was riveting. And I guess you guys, I imagine the way I felt for their parents was the way you guys felt about that abduction in plain sight documentary, which I also was not interested in watching.
There were moments.
I don't know. What did you guys think?
It's very similar.
I thought of that. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Real quick, it's the third most watched doc premiere for the network in a decade. It's right behind Going Clear is number one, and Bright mm-hmm. Lights was number two. That was the great one with Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds.
Oh, okay.
A couple years ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what did you guys think?
Mark, go ahead. Okay, well, I'll go quickly. I loved it. I'm my jaw is still dropped. Excellent filmmaking. Technically, real quick, since Tom brought up how it was shot, it's shot really well, but I sort of got sick of all the beautiful drone shots because I'm like, yeah, we know. We got it. We're in L.A. Like, we get it.
Oh, of Neverland?
Yeah, like, I just feel like, you know, yeah, a few of those, but, like, every couple minutes it was another drone shot. And I thought the shot of the grandmother was way too low.
Yes, sitting, it was like Texas Chainsaw Massacre when the big fat lady in the trailer was.
Yeah, it was comical to the point where even Oprah in her special, did you guys watch the special that she did?
No.
She even said, she's like, oh, every time we saw the grandmother, we all were like, uh-oh. Like, I don't know why they kind of shot her in that weird low angle. Anyway.
And even Wade's wife was kind of shot interestingly.
Yeah, kind of above, and you could see the camera was shaking. I don't know what was up with that. But overall, beautiful looking film. I loved it. I still feel sick to my stomach. I mean,
yeah.
I knew what I was in for, but I just was not expecting to really hear the terrible details. I mean, for anyone who hasn't watched it yet, everyone must see this film, but holy cow, you are going to hear things that are very hard to hear. All the sexual details and what happened to these boys. It's truly terrifying.
I just wanted to hug James. Wade, not so much. I didn't get. I didn't form a bond with Wade, but James,
he's suffering still.
Yeah.
The way that he would like raise his eyebrow, he was he's so cute. I just wanted to like reach through my screen and hug him.
Both boys and both men are super attractive, and they were such cute kids. But yeah, I think
God, adorable.
Wade has/had. A strength that I think James didn't have as much, maybe. I don't know if it was just because Wade is a performer himself. And, I mean, also, can we just shout out, I forgot how awesome Wade's dancing is. I mean, the clips of him dancing back then and even currently, like, go you. I would love to, like, see him in a musical or something. Like, he's got he's awesome. They both are awesome. But yeah, I feel for them. I feel for their wives. I mean, what interesting relationships they must have. And you know, I do sort of feel for their moms. And here's my other thing real quick. I just want to make sure, because even in Oprah's special, everyone kept talking about the moms. There were dads in the equation as well.
Yep.
And just because the dads were not in the doc, one of them passed away.
Just as culpable.
Which was terrible to hear about Wade's dad's passing. If you haven't seen it yet, you'll see. I mean, that was truly very hard to watch. I was tearing up. That was hard. But even James's dad, at one point, James's dad raves about Michael, we're told, and says he loves him and wants to help him and support him. So let's not put all the blame on the moms. There definitely were multiple parents. There was a grandmother. There were multiple family members that also were kind of blind to all this. So, you know, let's give them a little bit of credit. I do think Wade's mom seemed a little more intoxicated by all the fame and all the... Right? And still to this day sort of is, because Wade even said to Oprah, and the filmmaker, I'm blanking on his name, said to Oprah, Wade's mom has not watched the entire film and refuses to watch any graphic parts, which I kind of feel like you should watch what your son has gone through. I mean, come on, mom. Like, let's get to it. But yeah, loved it. What did you think, Fumi?
Fumi, what did you think? I'm dying to hear.
Okay, so I am going to preface this by saying that I don't discount anything that those men went through as boys. I believe their stories. I believe them. It was hard for me to watch because I don't feel like it was a documentary. I don't feel like I got a full picture of all sides. For me, a documentary tells a whole story. Whether the good, the bad, the ugly, you get all perspectives. You get the perspective of the people who, you know, are suffering or the people it's about. And then you also get the other side. And we didn't get the other side in this at all. There was, like, nobody from Michael Jackson's POV. I mean, I would have taken anybody. I would have taken the garbage man, an assistant, a maid, a driver, anybody, anything. Just so I felt his voice was heard in this documentary at all.
For a second, I really thought Macaulay was going to make an appearance.
Wow.
I really
did. I hope one day they talk to him and talk to the other boy. Because, yeah.
I don't think Michael Jackson did anything to them. I think that he knew that they were famous and he didn't.
Yep, exactly. He didn't go there. All the naysayers who are like, he didn't do anything to. The Macaulay and the other kid, I'm like, it's because he knew that, like, it's too risky.
Yeah, Macaulay was at a different level, but I don't know. I don't know anymore if Macaulay, if Michael didn't do anything to him. I'm just wondering, now watching this and seeing all the details. I mean, remember when Macaulay for a while, like, went away and looked very sick older in life and, like, looked like he was going through something while he was, like, dating Mila Kunis? And I don't know, I just wonder, like, maybe something did happen and... I don't know. We'll see. Anyway.
Fumi, were you a huge MJ fan?
Well, no. I mean, I'm not like a rabid Michael Jackson fan. Like, I know his hits like everybody does. I don't own any Michael Jackson like music per se, but I love, you know, I loved his music. I love the songs that he came out with.
Right,
so
of
it's
course.
Not about me being a Michael Jackson fan. It really is just about, I have a huge problem with the way that this documentary was presented. I also thought it was extremely long. It was hard for me to sit through all 4 hours of it.
Really?
Interesting.
But yeah, R. Kelly wasn't
way too long.
No. Oh, well, R. Kelly.
No.
Has...
Well, R. Kelly is a full picture. I mean, there are so many layers to R. Kelly. There are so many people being interviewed from his side, from the victim side, from hearing from actual victims, from hearing from parents of victims. This, you can't compare the two.
I mean, yeah, R. Kelly, there were like literally 50 people interviewed for that show.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I mean,
okay.
You can't compare the two.
Yeah, there's a ton of people, victims, parents, executives, critics. Yeah. This, you're right.
Writers,
is more...
articles, authorities. Yeah, you can't compare the two.
Yeah.
So there's not a full picture that you're getting presented for this. I thought that the parents, I think it's Wade's mom. Mm-hmm. I thought her, to your point, Mark, some of her sound, her interview bites were a little weird to me.
Yeah.
She laughs at one point when she talks about how she was listening in on the door with Michael and Wade. And I thought that was extremely odd way to relate that story. I was comparing it to listening to some of like the other documentaries I've watched about like parents who have had this happen to them and their children, and they're emotional. Like even in Abducted in Plain Sight, as much as the problems I have with that documentary, when the parents were talking, like you could hear and see it in their voice and in their reactions how distraught they are over their culpableness of what happened to their child.
For sure.
But for his mom, I didn't get that, and it was like weird for me.
It was weird. Yeah, you get it more from James's mom. She even says like,
"Yeah,
you get it from Wade's sister, really."
Oh, yeah.
And the brother. The brother and sister.
Oh, yeah, the brother. Yeah, his siblings were much... You connected with them more. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, all that being said, I do believe their story. I don't discount what they've went through. I do think that they are victims. I do agree that Wade has handled it a lot better than James. I think James is actually still suffering greatly.
Yeah.
Even in the interview with Oprah after... You know,
yeah, he was
kind
teared
of seemed
up.
Very ragged and teared up. And I think that he's going through a lot. And I hope that he's in therapy and, you know, doing whatever he needs to do to try to work through the issues and the emotional stress that it's caused his life. I think it's really unfortunate that Michael Jackson did what he did. I don't necessarily know if there'll be any repercussions from this. I think Michael Jackson, in essence... in a weird way might be untouchable in terms of like his musical impact and culture
what
on the
shame.
World is just you there's nothing in the world that was like him and there's nothing in the world that is like him till today
right
so I think that his music will still be played. I think that people will still, you know, his estate will still make money, but in terms of this being a documentary and being defined as that, I have a lot of strong opinions. Like, that bothers me a lot. This is not a documentary to me. This was an interview for two men and their families sitting down and them explaining, like, what happened to them. I don't necessarily know what you would call that.
Right.
But this
expose,
was not a full,
kind of.
It's an expose. Yeah. Yeah, it's an expose. This was not a full picture, all sides of the story. And I thought that this was produced really, like, poorly as well.
Interesting.
I thought that this, in my opinion, if you were going to do this documentary about these guys, that there were so many different ways they could go about it. I was actually surprised that HBO even aired this. I feel like, because Sheila Nevins was the president of HBO Docs for a long time, and she's the one who spearheaded, she's the one who made documentaries like what they are today.
Mm.
Like the fascination behind them and like really getting documentaries. Like she was the brainchild behind Going Clear and all of that stuff. She's no longer with HBO. She retired. And I don't know if she would have put this on the network, on that channel.
That's interesting.
It's not really the caliber of like the stuff that they've done in the past. But yeah, I mean, I definitely think that there was a very intense agenda behind the behind this, and I don't necessarily know if the director had telling a full story in mind. I think he really just wanted to like make news.
Maybe, yeah.
Which he did.
Yeah.
Which he did. But I don't really know if there was, like, full...
Yeah.
Like, thought behind telling a full story.
A full
where
story.
People could really walk away.
That's all
getting
fair.
All sides.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe his goal was to be their mouthpiece and let them explain everything that happened and why they constantly were denying it. You know, rather than... Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
To those who are naysayers, though, I just want to say that even, you know, if you feel like the documentary did not do a well enough job to convince you that Michael Jackson wasn't a good man, I just want to challenge you and think about the, I don't want to use the word evidence again because it's not really evidence, but think about the materials shown in the documentary, and we got a really intimate glimpse into the kind of relationship Michael had with these boys. The photos were creepy. That happy birthday message that he sent to, I think it was James on his 13th birthday, and said, "Hi there, little man. I love you so much." That was super creepy. Like, so even if you don't feel like the piece did enough to convince you that Michael was guilty of these, there's just something really off about his relationship with children, I have a problem with the way that society glorifies it. Because if it were anybody else, they would not get that kind of treatment.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that you definitely can't deny that his relationship with kids was really strange.
Yeah.
But I think that what happens is, to give a full circle and to answer those kind of questions that people would get, right, you'd want to hear... from a full story has all sides. And I feel like when you only present that one side, you feed into the naysayers are the ones who don't want to believe this. So it's like, well, there's an answer for that question. There's an answer for that picture. You're just not showing it. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, or there's another side to that picture. You're just not telling it.
But Fumi, to your point, that's how news is told today, too. I mean, our journalism and journalistic integrity in the United States is degrading on all sides.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's kind of a sign of the times, really, right? That this documentary
I guess I have a huge problem with that then. I mean, I definitely agree with you in terms of the news in this country right now. It is pretty bad. It's pretty horrific what's happening. But I don't know. I just felt like, especially if you're going to put out 4 hours of uninterrupted interviews and content, there's no excuse in my mind, absolutely none, for you not to have a full scale picture of this story. Like, 4 hours, guys.
Yeah.
4 hours of interviews.
That's so interesting because I could have watched longer.
I wanted to
hear way more.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, actually, when you think about it, that there were only really, a total of maybe 8 people that were interviewed, you know, in the whole thing for 4 hours. That's how much detail was explained over the years of the abuse. But I hear you, Foom. Yeah, I guess you're right. It would have been nice to get a couple of his former staff members or even just an outside, like, critic or something to just keep the story going from another point of view. I just feel like the Jackson estate has a clamp, much like Tom Cruise, like, the Jackson estate has a clamp on a lot of people.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, I don't discount that, and I agree with you. I'm sure that the NDAs that these people have signed,
right,
they would have to give up their entire life, every single penny that their grandchildren owned,
right,
to, like, participate in any of this, but I just feel like...
Or really, I guess it would have been nice if they got the maid, because the maid who, like, testified that she saw Michael naked in a shower with a boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would have been good to get her, but... Yeah, I still really enjoyed it. I mean, it's weird to say enjoyed, but I still, you know, I liked it. It's just hard to watch. It's really terrible. I used to own a CD/DVD, and I think I had gotten rid of it already, but honestly, if I had it right now, I'd just throw it away. It just feels gross.
I've been interested in reading how other celebrities are reacting, and I was proud of Oprah for taking a stance because I knew that she would take a lot of flack for coming out against MJ. John Legend just came out last night with a statement on Instagram saying that he believes it. And so
John Legend was in the R. Kelly show.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, yeah,
he was.
Wow. Yeah, but I've been interested to see people talk about it afterwards. And yesterday, a friend of mine who's a really big Cher fan said that all Cher did was share a picture of herself with Michael at a party in the 80s, and, like, maybe that's her way of saying that she stands with Michael and not with the abusers, and so I think it's just really fascinating.
Wow. God.
Yeah, it's too divided, so that's why I say I don't think anything will happen with Michael's legacy in this way. Like, people are, you know, these rumors have been around since we were kids, you know?
Oh, totally, yeah. None of this is new. It's just...
None of this is new. So yeah. People are going to continue to support Michael Jackson and play his music. That's not going to change. But,
I have heard some radio stations have sworn him off, and I feel like at least a couple years ago...
His sales dipped 4% over this past week, but I don't know how much that... 4%, there's no context. I don't have context for what that means, you know?
Yeah,
are we talking 10 songs? Are we talking hundreds of thousands of songs weren't bought this past week?
And a couple years ago, maybe even still currently, you know, Michael Jackson, I loved it when I was a kid. Captain EO, the 80s sci-fi Disney World, like, 3D thing, was still very much a part of Disney World and Disneyland. So I wonder if Disney will, if they haven't already, just shed any Michael Jackson connection. It probably seems like a good idea too, but I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that's it for today, for our show. Thank you to all of our supporters, all of our listeners. You can check us out on Spotify, iTunes,
Google Play,
Stitcher. Our social handles are Add This to Your List. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Follow us. Leave us comments. Mm-hmm. Let us know what's on your list, something that you think we should recommend as well.
Yeah.
We're always open to suggestions. And we want to thank Greg. We want to thank Allie. And we want to thank Jay for participating and being a part of our podcast. We really appreciate the support.
Thanks, y'all.
And we'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Adios.
Ciao.
Bye. We'll be right back.